The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am Gina Mastrangeli, a longtime member of this fellowship. In fact, it was 41 years ago that I, with my four-year-old daughter in hand, climbed some rickety steps to an old dilapidated building on Level Road. But once inside, I found a small group of people whose loving spirit lit the room. This morning, as I look out and see each of you, and all of you on Zoom, and this beautiful building where we can look out the window to a woodsy scene, all of this warms my heart because through you, the spirit that embodied the community that I discovered 41 years ago lives on. As a community, we gather together and welcome each and every one of us. We welcome each of us, whoever you are, whatever your background, wherever you are on your spiritual journey. We welcome you into our circle of love and compassion and joy. And newcomers, please introduce yourself after the service, or if you feel comfortable during matters of the heart. And those online, we do have in chat an online visitor's card. So if you sign it, we'll get back to you. This morning, we have our minister, Reverend Andrew Weber, who will lead our service. December's Soul Matters is Wonder. I'm ever confusing the two. To me, they seem the same. But no matter, Reverend Andrew will guide us, or at least me, through the maze of wonder and wonder. So now, let's begin our service, open our service, as we do each Sunday morning by lighting the chalice. The flaming chalice symbolizes our liberal religious faith. David, please.
Good morning. Out of our depths unknown, the spark of life ignites, and we are born. We enter a world, a universe, not of our own making. Our lives unfold in mystery and wonder. Questions abound, for which there are no definite answers. And so, we gather in community to be reminded of what is most ultimate and what is most scarce. In this spirit of searching and of reverence, let us worship together this morning.
I'm going to say, may peace be with us. And you're going to say, today. It is a moment of light surrounded on all sides by darkness and oblivion. In the entire history of the universe, let alone in your own history, there has never been another just like it, and there will never be another just like it again. It is the point to which all your yesterdays have been leading since the hour of your birth. It is the point from which all your tomorrows will proceed until the hour of your death. If you were aware of how precious it is, you could hardly live through it. Unless you are aware of how precious it is, you can hardly be said to be living at all. This is the day which the Lord has made, says the 118th Psalm. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, or weep and be sad in it, for that matter. The point is to see it for what it is, because it will be gone before you know it. If you waste it, it is your life that you're wasting. If you look the other way, it may be the moment you've been waiting for always that you're missing. All other days have either disappeared into darkness and oblivion, or not yet emerged from them. Today is the only day there is. Good morning and welcome to Today. I'm Reverend Andrew Weber. I'm honored to be Thomas Paine's part-time minister. I'm guiding and serving a community of guides and servants. We are a community where you can come and believe whatever it is that you must believe in your heart of hearts. This community welcomes you and challenges you to be in relationship, to enter into a way of being, of living with each other, which can help heal this world. Welcome. And I want to especially introduce Gaishe Yama Urgen Tenzin, who is a Tibetan monk and a family member of Anne Rostosky, who will be here with our children. Welcome so much. Thank you for coming. Before our gathering song, we have a few more candles to light. You think, how many candles are going to light today for this time of year, at this time when the days are still getting shorter, the nights are still getting longer, and what a great example of a gray day. So many religions light candles in celebration, in wonder, in awe, in anticipation. And today we celebrate with our Christian forebearers, the forebearers of our shared Unitarian Universalist faith, in celebrating and looking forward to Christmas. Christmas Eve service will be 5 p.m. on the 24th, Christmas Eve, here. And as such, I'm going to light our Advent calendar, or Advent, not the calendar, that'd be surprising. Do not try this at home. Our Advent candles. We start with, I have to make sure I get the right one, the first candle for hope, the second candle for peace, and the third candle today for joy. Let us keep hope, peace, and joy in our hearts and in our minds this morning and through the Advent season. And let us now prepare our minds and our hearts for worship with our opening song. So please rise in body or in spirit and join with singing Over My Head.
Over my head. There must be a
singing everywhere over my head. I hear singing everywhere. There must be a joy somewhere over my head.
So our activity today, we have an activity, and it's an activity of just speaking, sharing. Sometimes I invite people to come up. You may if you wish, but we're just going to be talking. But there's some nice empty seats. If people want to feel more comfortable, if they feel more comfortable sitting here, you're more than welcome to come up. You're also more than welcome to stay where you are. That's for anyone. Throughout the whole service, if you want to get up and move, that's fine. I'm okay with that. That's why I move around. Gina said, as I wander, as I ponder. So I guess I'm pondering. That was a really good one, too. Our Wonders of the World, it's adapted from a story originally told by Joy Garrison Wasson, who was a teacher. She taught English in Muncie, Indiana. She's no longer with us. I know the second, third hand, this story. And so I want to start off asking you questions. What are the seven wonders of the world? Pyramids? Well, yeah, so you can't. Jesus got that. I only have the one picture. Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Colossus of Zeus. Rhodes. Yeah. Great Wall. Yeah, Colossus of Rhodes. Great Wall. Yeah. The Sphinx. Taj Mahal. Anymore. And you know there are different lists, right? There's like the ancient world, the present world, the natural world, All right. Any others that people feel like we haven't mentioned? Grand Canyon. Victoria Falls. Library of Alexandria. I'm not judging any of these. I don't know. This all sounds amazing and wonderful. So a group of students, this is from Joy, a group of students were asked to list what they thought the present seven wonders of the world were, and there were some disagreements. They came up with a list, and I think they actually voted, and the ones with the most votes were the Great Pyramids, Taj Mahal, Grand Canyon, Panama Canal, Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and China's Great Wall. Those are the list that they came up with, those seven. And while gathering the votes, the teacher noticed that one student had not finished her paper yet. She had not written down, she had not made her notes. And so she asked if the girl was having trouble with her list, and the girl replied, "Yes, a little. I couldn't quite make up my mind because there were so many." And the teacher said, "Well, tell us what you have, and maybe we can help." So the girl hesitated, said, "I think the seven wonders of the world are to see, to hear, to touch or feel, to taste, to smell, to laugh, to love." Okay, well, I'm done. I'm done, right? I mean, I think that's it. But see you next week, okay? It's hard to drop a mic that's on my lapel. But, I mean, like, she did this. I don't know how true the story is. I assume there's some truth in this, but to say the seven wonders, it's how we experience the world. And the room was so quiet, the story goes, that you could hear a pin drop. The veritable pin dropping. The things we overlook as simple, as ordinary. I mean, the way we experience the world that we take for granted are truly wondrous, are truly the seven or more wonders of the world. So with that kernel, I invite the children now to go to their classrooms and we will sing you out.
Go now in peace, go now in peace, may the
both the songs we've sung this morning, I am familiar with different lyrics, as you may be, and I was singing about God while we're singing about joy or about the Spirit or God. And that's okay. That's the wonderful thing about being here, is that we have different definitions of what's holy and what's amazing and valuable, and I'm not even on my topic, but that's so cool. I'm just excited. I feel that wonder moving. We have a reading today. It's a surprise. I said, Gina, we won't have a reading. We do. The reading today is from Small Graces by Kent Nerburn. Interestingly, our first reading was about the day coming. This is about nighttime. The quiet gifts of everyday life is the byline. Night is closing in. It is time for sleep. I have walked a quiet path today. I have done no great good, no great harm. I might have wished for more, some dramatic occurrence, something memorable, but there was no more. This was the day I was given, and I've tried to meet it with a humble heart. How little it seems. We seek perfection in our days, always wanting more for ourselves and for our lives, and striving for goals unattainable. We live between the vast infinites of past and future, in a thin shaft of light we call today. And yet today is never enough. Where does it come from, this strange, unquenchable human urge for more that is both our blessing and our curse? It has caused us to lift our eyes to the heaven and thread together pieces of the universe until we can glimpse a shadow of the divine creation. Yet to gain this knowledge, we have sometimes lost the mystery of a cloud, the beauty of a garden, the joy of a single step. We must learn to value the small as well as the great. In the book of Micah, the prophet says, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Confucius told his followers, "Bring peace to the old, have trust in your friends, and cherish the young." Do we really need much more than this? To honor the dawn, to visit a garden, to talk to a friend, to contemplate a cloud? To cherish a meal, to bow our heads before the mystery of the day, are these not enough? The world we shape is the world we touch with our words, our actions, our dreams. If we should be so lucky to touch the lives of many, so be it. But if our lot is no more than the setting of a table, or the tending of a garden, or the showing in a child a path in the woods, our lives are no less worthy. I crawl into my bed, feeling the growing warmth of the covers. Outside, the wind blows softly, brushing a branch from the birch against my house to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God, to bring peace to the old, to have trust in our friends, to cherish the young. Sometimes it seems we ask too much. Sometimes we forget that the small graces are enough. Sometimes we forget that the small graces are enough. I feel like I've reached another point. It's like, there, okay, that's the simple and the difficult message for today. Okay, we're done, right? That's it. And but not only the small graces, but the small miracles, the small wonders. The theme for December is wonder. Like, wonder. As you wander, you can do both. But as we're wondering, and sometimes we forget sometimes that the small wonders, the small miracles, the small graces are enough. It's enough. We forget that all of our life is a miracle, and there are mysteries all around us, if only we open ourselves to them. I mean, life is the amazing and the mundane together, right? I mean, here's a little history. Billions of years ago, something happened where all matter birthed itself into the universe. Rocks, dust, elements swirling around and bumping into each other, catching fire. Eventually, a spinning clod of dirt and water starts circling a ball of fire in just the right way for something strange to happen. And on that cloud of dirt and water, molecules join and break, and eventually things start to move and reproduce, and those movements and those reproductions change over time. And these coalescings of stardust, which happen to be in the right places at the right times, make more of themselves, and they change more. And eventually the stardust walks around, looks at itself, and says, "Hey, I'm human." I simplified a little bit there, but that's the gist. I mean, and even more amazing, even more wondrous, is that once that stardust starts to notice itself, it keeps combining, it keeps changing, it keeps coming together and coming apart, and eventually your ancestors are born. And despite all the odds, your ancestors meet each other, and their offspring meets another realized clump of stardust, and so on and so on, until, despite the almost infinite probability against it, the stardust forms into you and me. I mean, what are the chances that all of that went just the way it did? So the events, the mistakes, the pure luck, some divine intervention, I have no idea. What are the chances? It's no wonder that religion exists, right? It's no surprise that we came up with religion to deal with this wonder of existing at all. How are we here? I'm not going to answer that. I'm just asking questions. How are we here? I mean, the chances against me standing here and you all being there are astronomical. I mean, in the actuality of the word, astronomical. Yeah, they're small, and they're having to do with the cosmos. We are amazing, just our very being, right? And then what do? We get bored at existence and frustrated at going through the daily grind of life. I mean, I do it all the time, right? I do it all the time. I have to do laundry again. Didn't I just clean those dishes? Like, I just cleaned them. What? Ah. Driving to work, getting children on the bus, cleaning the house, paying rent, finishing homework, driving to work, getting the children on the bus, cleaning that, right? Doing it over and over and over again. And we miss out on something. Here's a Jewish prayer by Chaim Stern, which gets to the heart of this matter. Days pass and years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. Wow, that's deep. That's sad. I mean, we walk sightless among miracles. The miracle that we exist at all. The wonder of life in all its glory, all its wonder. The fact that we are alive. The love and care that we have for each other. This beloved community. The natural world around us. These are the miracles we're missing. The wonders we don't see. So what do we do? Well, that's another reason we have religion. I mean, the first one was like, what? How do we exist, right? That's our humankind's sort of response to the wonder, the sheer astounding fact that life exists at all, as an explanation, but also as a reaction. Religion as a reaction. So for Unitarian Universalists also, we come together to give thanks for our lives. We come together to join our voices in praise, in joy. We come together to open ourselves up for transformation. What might we become? Each Sunday, we have an opportunity to grow a little bit more into our best selves. Each Sunday, we have an opportunity to look at the world and say, wow. There are many, many reasons that we come to a community, a faith community, for comfort. For that community. For the potluck after service, right? I mean, it's okay. To share joy. To share pain. One of the reasons for coming together is that we get to practice how we want to engage with our lives for the rest of the week. Get a little practice in. This is a safe space for practicing. Here, listen to another Jewish quote. This from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. Our goal should be to live life in radical amazement. Get up in the morning and look at the world in a way that takes nothing for granted. Everything is phenomenal. Everything is incredible. Never treat life casually. To be spiritual is to be amazed. I like that. To be spiritual is to be amazed. Which pushes me further than my initial cosmic musings. If I'm to get up in the morning and take nothing for granted, to see everything as phenomenal, that means much more to me and also much less to me than the cosmos. Look at the trees. Reaching up to the sun, reaching down into the earth, making energy from sunlight and water, and each one different, each one unique. That's amazing. And we do that too without thinking. We make energy from what we eat. The very nature of our lives is reincarnation. We take death and we make life. That's miraculous. I mean, that's miraculous. And we can go further. Here's where I go both further, like more mundane, and also further. What about the cars we drive? Yeah, cars. The generations of people who had an idea, made that idea reality, and then built on other ideas and made them reality. The earth didn't start with metals or plastics or computers the way we see them today. And yet here we are propelling ourselves along in miracles of engineering and manufacturing. Wow, I can go to the sink and pour out hot, clean water. How many different flavors of tea do we have? I mean, like, a spoon can be a wonder, right? I was holding a spoon. I was like, think about all the energy and time and processes which went into creating a spoon. Not to mention the internet or smartphones, right? The fact that I can hold in my pocket, I don't have it now, but many of you do. You can hold in your pocket, which itself is a small wonder, right? Wow. I can hold in my wondrous pocket a device which can connect me to people around the world, around the globe, and provide me access to more information than I can possibly ingest in a lifetime. My phone has more than 100,000 times the processing power of the computer that sent humankind to the moon. What? And yet I'm gonna discard it and get a new one because I can't TikTok the, I don't know. I'm like, what? Oh, and people have walked on the moon. I mean, that's no small feat, right? Anyone watching the World Cup? A logistical and physical wonder. How are so many people organized so well, from what I see? How are those guys so physically fit and able to do so much and put the ball exactly where they want it? It goes on, right? I mean, I could keep going. I'm going to stop. But both natural, manufactured, everything. The internet, scissors, hand soap, rocks, flowers, music. The mechanics of my hand, right? I mean, it's amazing. And my pushing myself to see wonder in everything reminds me of a 1999 film, American Beauty. I don't know if you've seen that. I see some heads nodding. There was a scene which I really despised. I really didn't like it, but it stuck with me. It was a scene of a plastic bag floating around a parking lot. And one of the characters had videotaped this plastic bag floating around a parking lot. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I watching this? The character says, And it's a couple minutes. It's not just a plastic. It's like, there's some time there with that bag. One character says, "Do you want to see the most beautiful thing I've ever filmed? It was one of those days when it's a minute away from snowing. And there's this electricity in the air. You can almost hear it, right? And this bag was just dancing with me. Like a little kid begging me to play with it for 15 minutes. I was not open to seeing the wonder of that scene. I can tell you right now. Would I be open to it now? I'm not sure, but I'm preaching to myself. I mean, I'm sort of telling myself to be open to that. See the wonder in a floating piece of trash, Andrew. Yeah, and I know that this feels, especially with my hand, like this feels a little trite and a little like pothead-y. Right? I mean, if that's, I don't know what the term is. Like, is there a term for that? Like, but baked. It feels a little baked. It's a theological term. I'll put it. But it's true. I mean, it's true. Even if it feels like I'm pushing you to like get to that baked place. And no. It's true. There are miracles all around us. We just need but open ourselves to see them. In the words of Rachel Carson, and I have these in my, if you ever go by my office, I put a quote on my whiteboard every month, and this is the one I have there. This is from The Sense of Wonder by Rachel Carson. "For most of us, knowledge of our world comes largely through sight. Yet we look about with such unseeing eyes that we are partially blind. One way to open your eyes to unnoticed beauty is to ask yourself, what if I had never seen this before? What if I knew I would never see it again?" Okay. Being in awe and living in wonder doesn't sound as trite to me if you frame it that way, right? I mean, what if you never saw the internet before? Right? What if you knew you would never experience a hug again? I mean, that'd be wonderful. Possibly, quite definitely, a bit overwhelming. Right? I mean, what a different place we would live in if we were in constant wonder. Not a tenable world, truly, but it's impossible to stay in that state of pure, open wonder. We see examples from the extremely young of being in that state of wonder. We see examples of religious mystics and those under the chemical influence. Those are the people we see that experience, that example of being in complete and utter awe and wonder of everything. And we can practice opening ourselves up to wonder without being an infant or without being a mystic or being under the influence. Remember, that's one of the reasons we come here. One of the reasons we come here is to have that opportunity to wonder. And here, I see church as sort of a controlled environment to help us for when we leave, when we go out. Each week, we practice being loving. We practice being loved. We practice embodying social justice and compassion. We practice wonder and awe so that we might better love, we might better work for social justice, we might better experience awe when we are not here. This is our controlled environment each week. Through songs, through activities, through story, through sermon, through media, we experience wonder. I talk about church because we're here, obviously. I mean, we're here in church, but also because there's a great example. This is a great example for when we leave this building, when we leave this time. Is every time you are moved to tears at the hymn selection, there is someone who is moved to groans. Right? I mean, every time the sermon puts you to sleep, it's okay, it happens. There is someone who feels as if it was composed just for them. Every aspect, for each aspect of the worship service, which stays in your heart and changes your life, there's someone whom it's forgettable or even boring. I've been moved. I've been bored. It's okay to be your true self here. And it's okay to stand in awe, and it's okay to sit in tedium. The task in community, we're in community, the task is to remember that there are people around you who experience wonder differently, and to allow them to have space for their awe. That's why community is so amazing. That's why community is so difficult, right? Oh yeah, I can go into the woods. I can go feel wonder at the natural world. I can pick out the music which stirs my heart to a higher level of ecstasy. I can read the books and seek out the experience which move me. But hold on. I have to do that in community? I have to do that with someone else where my neighbor is offended by what I laud? Where my friend is moved by what irritates me? That's tough. Can I be so open to wonder and all that I might start to see how someone might experience the holy where I don't? What about that plastic bag that someone found moving and I found offensive? But that's the push. That's the push here. Be open to wonder, even in places where you know something has to change, right? Litter shouldn't be just left in the parking lot. It should be picked up. But that doesn't mean the plastic bag blowing in the wind can't be wondrous. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I often preach to myself. So. And then can be open to the wonder that happens from relationship. Not just sharing our ideas, but actually being in relationship. When I express what I feel at the music, and you express what you feel at the silence, and those connections, yeah, that's all beyond words. And I can prove it to you, right? I cannot express right now what I'm feeling when I make eye contact with you. But there's something there, right? You can feel it. I mean, you can feel something when we make eye contact. I can feel it. I can't express that. What is that? Relationship, community. I'm getting chills. I don't know. I mean, there is wonder to be seen everywhere if we're open to it. But life keeps happening, right? Life keeps happening. We can't just sit here in our controlled environment and go off on our wonder binge. We're going to go out into the non-amazing, mundane world. Yes. And Jack Kornfield speaks to this reality of seeking wonder but still living a mundane life. Actually, the title of the book does it. It's called After the Ecstasy, the Laundry. And this quote speaks to that also. We all know that after the honeymoon comes the marriage. Don't laugh too hard. After the election comes the hard task of governance. In spiritual life, it is the same. After the ecstasy comes the laundry. Most spiritual accounts end with illumination or enlightenment. But what if we ask what happens after that? What happens when the Zen master returns home to spouse and children? What happens when the Christian mystic goes shopping? What is life like after ecstasy? So that's my charge for you today. That's my charge for you. Not assuming you have reached enlightenment this morning. If you have, fantastic. But without that assumption, it's easier to be in wonder when we put the time aside, when we say, this is our hour for being in wonder, for being spiritual, for being religious. Okay. Now what? Now what? As you go home, you are the only one. You are the only one who can come with a sense of curiosity, who can be open to all the wonder around you. It's up to you. So it's not a charge to change what you do, but to change how you are in the world. how you think. Do the laundry with wonder. Drive in awe. Greet with a sense of the divine connections. Go in peace and go in wonder. Amen. And let us have our wonder as we wander. Music, musical reflection.
So we will bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to sing Voice Still and Small this week, a little bit different from our typical Spirit of Life. But the music will begin here shortly with the lyrics up on the screen.
Let us pray together. That which grounds us and surrounds us, be with us now as always, as we lift up joys, as we lift up sorrows, as we come together in joy and pain, in wonder, awe. Please be with us and let us give thanks for our lives. In the words of Mary Oliver, truly, we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. How grass can be nourishing in the mouths of lambs, how rivers and stones are forever in allegiance with gravity while we ourselves dream of rising, how two hands touch and the bonds will never be broken, how people come from delight or the scars of damage to the comfort of a poem. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have the answers. Let me keep company always with those who say, look, and laugh in astonishment and bow their heads. Amen. Please rise in body or in spirit as we embody our Advent season with one of the two or three hymns from our hymnal for Advent. People look east.
keep the watch when night is dim. One more light the bowl shall brim, shining beyond the frosty weather, bright as sun and moon together. People look east and sing today, love, the star is on the
way. Before we do our closing words, I'm reminded of a wonderful Walt Whitman poem that you might be familiar with. It's called Miracles. When I was an art student, I did a big, long illustrated panel of that cartoon. If you want to Google it, that poem. It's beautiful, and it same messages today. This is from Kyle Johnson. O Spirit that moves all things, help us to see the miracle in the mundane, to see the crystal stars, the shape-shifting clouds, the patient trees, to see each other through fresh eyes. As we move through our lives, let us remember to see through the mundane to the miracle beneath.
Do we really need much more than this? To honor the dawn, to visit a garden, to talk to a friend, to contemplate a cloud, to cherish a meal, to bow our heads before the mystery of the day. Are these not enough? Amen and blessed be.